preach you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. I'd like to welcome each one to the service today. Trust as we worship God together that our cups can be filled, that God will be glorified. 3 weeks ago, I had preached a message on the heart of man and about the heart of man being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And just briefly touched about the heart of God or how that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And as we look at the heart of man and we see the depravity of the heart of man, I think every one of us wants a solution to that deceitfulness, that desperately wicked heart that we have within us. So today, I would like to, by the grace of God, bring you a solution. I titled the message this morning, I Surrender. And I believe as we look at the heart of man, the desperate wickedness, the deceitfulness, the answer to overcoming that is in surrendering to the heart of God. In surrendering to the God that is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. To surrender means the act of yielding or resigning one's person or the possession of something into the power of another. A yielding or giving up. That was in the 1828 Webster's. A more current dictionary says to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. In war, to surrender would mean to, for one army or country to surrender to the other army or country. All the men, all the weapons, all the equipment would now be given over to the army that they are surrendering to. They would no longer be fighting against that other army or that other country, but they would now be working for the other country or army. But we know that as we look at history, we know that even though a lot of times in a case like that, when an army surrenders, that the terms of surrender would state that they must make a complete surrender, a full surrender. But many times that surrender is only outward. And if we look at that in the Bible, we see that in the case of the Jews, where they had been taken over by the Roman Empire, yet the surrender that they gave to the Roman Empire was not full. It was not complete. It was just an outward surrender that within them there was still that thing that was chafing under this Roman rule. They were looking at the Messiah that God had promised that would come to them as being someone that might deliver them from that Roman rule. It was just an outward surrender. Inwardly, there was rebellion. And as we look at that, the men, the weapons, the equipment, the outward things can be surrendered easily enough. But when it comes to surrendering the will, the heart, it is quite a different story. It is not so easily to surrender that. It's quite a different matter. And I had to think of the boy that his mom had given him time out by having him sit in a chair because of something that he had done. And, he said that, I'm still standing up on the inside. He had surrendered in the outward form, in his body by sitting down. But within, his spirit, his will was not in surrender to his mom, to the authority in his life. he had not made a complete surrender, had he? And, how many times do we as Christians, the authority in our life is God, is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. How many times do we, when God tells us to sit and maybe to wait or to do something, we might surrender in the outward, but within we are chafing against that. The will of man doesn't like that. The thing is, though, is God never forces anyone to surrender. He gives us the conditions that we need to meet. He gives us the blessing if we do surrender. But He leaves it up to us whether or not we choose to surrender or not. The choice is ours. You know, just like he gave to Adam and Eve in the garden there, the choice of eating or not eating of that tree. You know, he commanded them not to, but he left the choice up to their free will. And of course, they failed the test, just like I would have, I'm sure. You know, but when we look at an army or a country, when there is terms are reached, an agreement of surrender, and the one army or the country surrenders to the other, there is oftentimes probably doubt as to how we're going to be treated when we give ourselves up to them and we are at their mercy. You know, and sometimes the treatment may not be the nicest or the kindest. And it may not even always be for our good, if you will. It may be for selfish interest for the other army or the other country. But when we surrender to God, we can be assured that the terms of surrender are complete surrender. But we can be assured that the treatment we're going to receive when we do surrender to God will always be for our good, no matter what. Everything God does is for our good. God is in no way, shape, or form selfish. In him, he is light, and in him there is no darkness whatsoever. You know, when a country that has surrendered to, like in the case of the Jews, has surrendered to another country, or in this case the Roman Empire, when after having surrendered there is rebellion, there is an uprising, the dominant country will try to stamp that rebellion out as quickly as possible to bring that country back into subjection, into submission. But when we, after having surrendered to God, when we again rebel against God and we try to do our own thing, God doesn't force us to submit. Yes, God will speak to us through his Spirit and will convict us of the rebellion in our life, but he never forces us to submit. He lets us go when we choose to rebel and go our own way. That is part of the free will package that God offers to us. But remember, when we take our own will, along with that, there are consequences or rewards for surrender. You know, we do lose out on the blessings, but God never demands our submission. He allows us to choose. The devotion this morning we had from Psalm 23 about the Lord is my shepherd. You know, following him, following the shepherd is voluntary. It is free will. It is up to us. And of course, God draws us, as the scriptures tell us. God is not willing that any should perish. God's heart is that we would all come to repentance, to salvation through Jesus Christ. At our little farmette, we have some calves, and, you know, calves need vaccination, they need dehorning, and need warming. And for that purpose, we have a head gate, a squeeze chute, where we run the calves up an alley and, you know, the head through the head gate, and they're locked in, and so we can administer the vaccine or warmer or whatever. And a lot of times the calves, you know, really resist that. And I was just thinking about that and thinking in terms of surrender, how much easier it would be if those calves would just surrender to my desire to give them a vaccination, and I could just walk up to them out in the pasture and they would just stand there while I would administer the shot. You know, there would be a lot less effort on my part, and it would probably be a lot less painful on the calf's part. But, you know, the nature of a calf is not to surrender. The nature of a calf is to resist. And, you know, possibly the word on the front of the bulletin, trust, comes into play there. The calf doesn't trust me, if you will. You know, and our human nature also is just like the nature of that calf. The human nature resists surrender. You know, and maybe trust comes in a lot of times into that. Here recently I read something on Facebook that caught my eye. It said, don't align yourself with the will of God, but rather surrender to it. Surrender is a dying to self and letting God have complete control. To align is bending into alignment with God's will, but me still having control. You know, the human nature will quite easily align itself with the will of God. Even, you know, reading the Word of God and bringing itself into alignment with the Word of God, at least in areas. But when it comes to a full surrender, a complete surrender, and completely letting God have the control, it's quite a different matter. The human nature does not give up easily. It balks. It puts up resistance. It fights it. Surrender is completely contrary to the human nature. You know, our nature is to want to be dominant, to want to be on top. And as Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again to become partakers of a divine nature. That divine nature realizes the goodness of God. It trusts the goodness of God. And I think that would be terms of the old man and the new man. The old man resists God, whereas the new man surrenders to God and acknowledges the goodness of God and bows to God, allows God to have control. Like Job said, you know, even if you kill me, I'll still trust you. Jesus' prayer, you know, when he was faced with the thing of being crucified, going to the cross and giving his life, his prayer was, not my will, but thine be done. You know, a prayer of surrender, of a yielding of his will. We look at in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, we have the account of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. The Pharisee stood and he prayed with himself. You know, he said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, and I'm not even like this publican here. The publican said, smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee was aligned with the old law, the Mosaic law, as a whole, maybe not all together, but he was aligned with the word they had at that time, whereas the publican surrendered to the heart, the will of God. And we see the difference there of the Pharisee's heart was deceitful, desperately wicked, out for his selfish gain, whereas the publican was willing to say, God, I'm a sinner, I need you, and he was willing to surrender. And I'm sure there was more entailed in the publican's life than just that one prayer. You know, from there on out, I'm sure he had his struggles and so forth. In the account of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, 25-37, the priest and the Levite again were aligned with the will of God. They were in the church, if you will. Whereas the Samaritan, when he came, instead of just coming and looking on the man in the ditch or passing by on the other side, he surrendered himself to the will of God and he went and he helped the man. He took of his time, of his money. Everything he had was in God's control. That was surrender. And as we look at the Pharisee, the priest, and the Levite, they were leaders of a church in their day. You know, when you have a church that is not surrendered to the will of God, but is merely aligned with the will of God, it spells trouble, with a capital T, if you will. You know, we can, just like the Pharisee there, we can align ourselves to God's will without surrender. But and we can align ourselves with the Word of God without surrender, without giving God control. We can do the right things. We can say the right things. We can read in here what God tells us to do, and we can do those to the best of our ability, humanly speaking, but not be surrendered to God and what God wants us to do. But when we do surrender to God, our lives will come into alignment with the Word of God. When we give God control, the Holy Spirit directs us, it brings our life into the realm, into alignment with the Word of God, and it is the will of God. And maybe we could liken that to, you know, I'm talking about people that are born again. Maybe we could say that to simply come into alignment with the will of God, but not to be fully surrendered, would be the permissive will of God. versus a full surrender would be the perfect will of God, where we allow God to have control. We allow God to be in the driver's seat. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Now, I don't know, you know, how much truth there is to that, but there's a possibility, you know, that we could set up so much of a system to where, you know, we process things on an automatic basis instead of the Holy Spirit directing us and speaking to us and showing us what we need to do. There again, I think that would come in the term of alignment versus surrender. You know, as we think of that, our natural response is when we're part of a church, when there's problems in a church, our natural response is to get up on this high horse and we blame others for the problem. Because we like to think that we are right and the others are not. We like to think that, you know, I am surrendered, that my life is in the will of God, that I am surrendered to God and I'm doing what God wants me to do, but it's those other people out there that are not. But you know, I believe that surrender is not something that you just do one time. But I think it's a daily thing. The Bible talks about, Apostle Paul said, I die daily. A daily giving up of my will and yielding my life to God's control. God's will for my life. And as you look at the life of a person in a church, the life of a surrendered person within a church that is maybe merely in alignment with the will of God, a church that is not fully surrendered to God, a person that is surrendered to God is going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. You know, when we think ourselves better than others and we put ourselves up on this high horse, if you will, on this pedestal, we become a part of the problem instead of a part of the solution. You know, God has a solution. As the church sign says, for every Goliath there is a stone. God has a solution for every problem. And when we surrender to the will of God and we allow God to work through us and listen to the Holy Spirit and we put that into practice, we become a part of that solution rather than a part of the problem. Someone has said that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. And I think that is so true. You know, God cannot work through us when we're on that pedestal. We think ourselves better than others. But when we realize our weakness, like the publican, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. We realize that and we surrender to the will of God. God can use us. As Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, the last part of the verse, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, when I think I'm strong, I'm actually weak. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, if there were even any foolishness with God, it is so much wiser than I am. God is always right, just, holy, and true. So the heart of God is that we choose to surrender to him, not for the benefits that I receive from him by surrendering my life to him, but because of who God is, because God is God. I surrender to him because of who God is, because I know he is right, he is good, he is just. So God wants us to come to him with a full free will surrender. Lord, whatever it is, whatever my situation, I give it to you. You take control. My job, my business, the vehicle I drive, the houses that we build, the property that we buy, the phones that we carry, the computers that we work on, the movies we watch, the books we read, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the thoughts we think, the friends that we associate with, the church that we attend. Whether it's God's will for me to marry or not, or to be single. just give it all to God. And you know that it can be a status symbol to be either single or married, given on the culture or given on the thing that is cool in his day. And I had to think of a number of years ago, there was his younger sister. When her older brother turned 23, she said, 23 and not married yet? What do the people think? You know, it was like in that day, it was the thing to be married by the age of 23. You know, it was not uncommon to marry at 20, 21. So, God is wanting a free will surrender, a full surrender. Not a surrender to what other people think, but a surrender to what God thinks. Not surrender to what other people expect of me, but to what God sees in me, to where God is in full control. I'd like to read in Philippians 1. We had that some time ago in our Sunday school lesson, in verses 20 through 26. The testimony of the Apostle Paul, and maybe some of the struggle that he was going through. He says in Philippians 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So here Paul is struggling with the thing of wanting to go to be with Christ and yet being willing to stay if that is what God would want for him. And he said that, I don't know what I want to choose in verse 22. Now, did he really have a choice? You know, commit suicide? Well, no, that's not an option. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm in a hard place. I want to go to be with Christ. It's far better for me. Yet, he says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In other words, God still has a work for me. And I see here as this ends up, he ends up with a position of surrender. That God, no matter what you ask of me, whether it is to go or to stay, I surrender to you. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live for Christ. And if I die, it's gain. I'm going to be with Christ. In 1 Kings 19, we have the account of Elijah after his victory on Mount Carmel with those prophets of Baal. He received a threat from Queen Jezebel saying that she is going to kill him. And he ran for his life into the wilderness. He ran out there and he sat under a juniper tree and he asked God to let him die. He was discouraged. Now, was that surrender? No, absolutely not. There is a big difference between giving up and surrendering. Yes, we need to give up our will to God, but I'm talking about a discouraged kind of give up. You know, there's a coworker I work with at the shop. Sometimes when things are going hard, has a difficult time, he will say, I surrender. And in other words, give up. Well, he doesn't actually, but it's just a term that he is using. There is a difference between giving up, sitting down like Elijah did and being discouraged, and letting something go. You know, just letting go and letting God. You know, when we let it go, that is surrendering to the will of God. You know, especially when there are trials. You know, and God has his way of allowing things to come into our life, or you know, maybe bringing things in our life when there's things in our lives that need to be dealt with, of maybe, you know, like tightening up the vise. And what he is after is for us to surrender, to give up, to let go and let him, to give him control. You know, he's not forcing you, but he is giving you, allowing these things to come into your life to help you come to the point of the publican, you know, that I just let it go and I let God. Now, when there is temptation, that is a time that God doesn't want us to surrender, but he wants us to stand, to be faithful. Song number 830 spoke to me here some time ago when I read that. It is, "Where he may lead me, I will go." Verse 1 says, "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary." The chorus says, "Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest friend to me, for I remember Calvary." Verse 2 says, "Oh, I delight in his command, love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary." Verse 3 says, "Onward I go, nor doubt nor fear, happy with Christ my Savior near, trusting that I someday shall see Jesus my friend of Calvary." As I read that song, especially verse 2, "Oh, I delight in his command, love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me." I was like, no, that is not me. And I was challenged with this thought of surrender. You know, to come to the point where I trust him. So as the first verse says, and as it says on the bulletin, that word trust. You know, I think it's almost impossible to make a complete surrender, to give up my will to someone I don't trust. I think that is imperative. It's so important that we learn to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that we learn to trust God, because if we can't learn to trust, we can't delight in his command. We can't love to be led by him, and his divine will isn't sweet, because we're always doubting, we're always wondering and having mistrust. But as it says here, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. And that, as Jesus said in the book of John, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend." And that is what Calvary is talking about, where Jesus gave his life for me and for you. I read here that a long time ago, when the missionaries went among the barbaric tribes of Western Europe and converted whole nations, the baptisms of thousands of people at one time was a common occurrence. But one thing that the missionaries noticed was that when these barbarians were baptized, and this was done by immersion, they insisted on keeping their right hand out of the water. The reason is they were willing to be Christians or become Christians in every area, every aspect of their life except one. They wanted their right hand left free for their control to kill their enemies and to use as they please. Now that is not a full surrender. That is not what God is wanting. You know, I would dare say that probably every one of us has something in our life, some area that we struggle with bringing into a full surrender to God. Some right hand of some kind that we want. But a full surrender to God means everything. It means every little detail of our life. Every little thing I would like to hang on to, surrender to God, because God is God. Not because of the reward that I get, but because of who God is. Because God is God. I would like to close with Matthew chapter 11, the last three verses. Very familiar scripture. As we look at surrendering and who we are surrendering to. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the invitation of Jesus Christ. When we are out there and we want that right hand free to use us as we please, Jesus' plea to us is, come to me. You know, when we do that, when we have those areas of our life that we don't have in surrender to Jesus Christ, that is what makes us labor. It makes us loaded down. It makes us weary because of the resistance. It is so much easier when we surrender and we give it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. We let go and we let God. It makes it so much easier when we take that yoke by choice. We take the yoke and we choose to allow God to put his yoke on us and to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be yoked with him. And we learn of him. We learn to know him. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And he says, you will find the rest that you are looking for. You will find the purpose, the meaning of life that you are looking for. You know, as long as I insist on having my own way, I'm going to be weary. I'm going to labor. I'm going to be heavy laden. But when we come and we surrender to him, we find rest. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I don't know how that all works, but I know that Jesus Christ takes the heavy end. And probably a lot of times takes the whole thing, the yoke and you included. And that is what makes life easy. The problem is my will doesn't like to surrender. It balks, it resists, it struggles. That's what makes it hard. But a full surrender is what brings peace. And by the way, the word surrender is not even in the Bible. But there is a lot that speaks of a full surrender in here. The word submission is in here, which is similar. And that is what God is asking of us, is a full surrender. To just say, I surrender. I give up. God, I let go and I let you. Let's kneel for prayer.